The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 33, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 27th, 2009, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are blessed with the most auspicious opportunity to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 33. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Somo bud brahmano kshena datto vishnushta yogavit dravasa shankarashyangsho nibodhan girasa praja somo bud brahmano kshena datto vishnushta yogavit dravasa shankarashyangsho nibodhan girasa praja. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, from the partial representation of Brahma, the moon god was born of them. From the partial representation of Vishnu, the great mystic Dattatreya was born. And from the partial representation of Shankara, Lord Shiva, Devasa was born. Now you may hear from me of the many sons of Angira. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Saji Sadaitam Savadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishankan Vitamscha. So we are studying the genealogical table of the daughters of Manu. So, genealogical means there is the passing of genes. Just like if one has a white-skinned father and mother, and one gets a white-skinned body, if one has a dark-skinned father, and this way. In the genealogical system, the traits are passed on from the parents to the children. (Clears throat) course, that is only the material birth. You see. So it is not that important. There's another birth which is far more important. That is dvijja, that second birth. So just as the traits are passed at the first birth, from the parents to the child, you see. In a similar way, at second birth, if it is actually successfully executed, the traits of the father and mother, they are passed on to the disciple. You may say, mother? What do you mean, mother? Yes, Prabhupada said, the guru is father and Veda is their mother. Our second birth is by guru and Vedas. So if we have actually taken our second birth, if we have actually been twice born, you see, then we must inherit the traits of the predecessor. You understand? If there is no passing of traits, then there is no actual second birth. It is show only. We must be the inheritors of the traits of the forefathers, the spiritual forefather. And then there is actual second birth. So, what are the traits of our illustrious forefathers in the Siddhic succession? They are non-envious well-wishers of all living entities. You see? That is the test if someone has actually become twice born person. If they have become non-envious well-wisher of all living entities, then they are truly twice born. It is a very important thing, this quality of being non-envious. Because in this world, we are all infected by envy. In fact, it is envy that brought us here to begin with. We could rename this place Enviousness Loka. Because everyone is envious. The qualification for entering this place is to be envious of God. So everyone who comes here is envious. That's a fact. So that's why this second birth is such an important thing. Because second birth frees you from envy. If you've actually taken second birth, you become non-envious. Actually, when you become Krishna conscious, there's no reason to be envious. Krishna makes sure you have no reason to be envious. Just like those queens in Dwarka. If any man here in this world even had five wives, you see, there'd be a huge envy problem between the co-wives, you see. Big, big problem. Envy. Because what one man can do to satisfy five wives, it is not possible, you see. But Krishna, he has unlimited shakti. He can have 16,108 wives. Why 16,000? He can have 16 billion wives, no problem. Any number of wives he wants to have, he's no problem. He can satisfy all those wives to where there is no envy between the wives, none. Why? Because he manifests a separate Krishna for each wife. You see, show me one husband who can manifest a different himself for each wife. He cannot do. Therefore, we can only have one wife. Because we don't have the power to manifest, you see, to make them non-envious. Of course, in the Vedic culture, they did have more than one wife. But in the Vedic culture, it was a non-envious culture. Now it is Kali Yuga, envy is very, very predominant. So it's very difficult to have more than one wife in the Kali Yuga, you see. Very difficult. So the point is that in Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives all facilities so that one does not have to be envious. Because there's plenty of Krishna to go around. You can have unlimited Krishna, you see. You can have unlimited Krishna. Everyone can have unlimited Krishna. So why should I be envious that somebody is getting more Krishna than I am? Because there's an unlimited stock of Krishna for everyone. You see? Krishna can manifest himself individually for each and every single devotee, just as he did for those queens, and reciprocate individually with each and every single devotee throughout all of existence. So you never have to feel, well, I'm missing out, you know, I'm missing out. Actually, I used to feel that way, you know. I felt so bad. I was envious. I saw my godbrothers who were getting Prabhupada's association. And there I was at a little tiny temple out there in Texas. And hearing all these stories about Prabhupada here, Prabhupada there. Thinking, oh, this envy is not good, but I'm so envious of my godbrothers. They are getting Prabhupada's association, I'm not getting. And I felt bad about that. So I asked Prabhupada one time, Srila Prabhupada, I have this problem of being envious of my godbrothers who get so much of your association. How can I get over this envy? And Prabhupada surprised me by his answer. He didn't tell me to get over the envy. He didn't say, give up this envy. I was surprised by his answer. He did not tell me to give up the envy. He said, transcendental envy means when I see that someone is getting more of Krishna's mercy than I am, then I have to try harder so Krishna will give me the mercy also. That was his answer. So I understood, well, I have to, if I want more Prabhupada's association, I have to qualify myself. I understood. What do you mean? Why be envious that someone else is getting more Prabhupada's association? Just qualify yourself also to that association. So the point is, we don't have to be envious of anyone in Krishna consciousness. They're getting more of Krishna's mercy than I am. We don't have to be envious of anyone. Now, if you think the happiness of Krishna consciousness is something other than Krishna's mercy, then you can be envious. Well, he has a nicer room than I do. He has a nicer kurta than I do, or he has a better wife than my wife, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or she has a better husband than I do, you know. He has more money than I do, you know, a nicer car than, or I'm just walking on foot, he has a nice car, you know. If you think the happiness of these material things, then yes, you can be, you have plenty of facility for being envious, definitely. But if you actually understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, you will understand material facility is nothing. The actual nature of Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with one's material facilities. Nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with material facilities. One's Krishna consciousness is, one's happiness in Krishna consciousness is how much mercy you're getting from Krishna. Ye yatamang prapadyante tangas tathaiva bhajamyaham. How much mercy am I getting from Krishna? You see, that is actual happiness. How much mercy I'm getting from Krishna. So for that, there's no reason to be envious. Absolutely no reason. Because you can get unlimited Krishna, mercy from Krishna. Krishna and the mercy of Krishna, they are the same thing. You can get unlimited mercy of Krishna. There's only one thing holding us back, and that is we're not surrendering. We're remaining foolishly attached to sense gratification. Cinema, television, eating, sleeping. You see. We could come to, it's like there are residents here in the temple. They could come for Mangal Arati every day. But I see they're sleeping. You see. So many devotees living right here by the temple. They could come from Mangal Arati every day and get more and more mercy of Krishna. But I see they're sleeping. You see? Of course, if one lives at a distance, that's another thing. Then you can rise early and sing and worship the Lord in your own home also. The point is that there's unlimited facility to taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness for every single devotee. We simply have to give up sense gratification. That's all. Simply have to give up sense gratification. That's all we have to do. Give up that sense gratification. Take up that spirit of bhakti. Ahaitukiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. Devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. That is the statement of Bhagavatam. In other words, if I'm engaging in devotional service for some material purpose, I won't be satisfied. We've seen that in our ISKCON society. We had big, big leaders who fell down, you see. What does that mean? It means they had some material motive for rendering devotional service. That's what it means. They had some material motive, big name, fame, position, you see, to be honored and respected by many people, you see. It is material desire. Lord Chaitanya said, "Na janam, I have no desire for followers, none, you see." So if someone is serving with a desire for name, fame, you see, being adored by and worshipped by many, many people, they may get that desire fulfilled, but they will not be satisfied. And we've seen that. Big, big leaders of our movement, so many of them are gone now. You see, they have left. They became big, 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 big leaders. And then a big leader today, gone tomorrow. So we should learn, they are also our gurus. They're teaching us what not to do. You know, that's a different type of guru. One guru teaches you by example what you should do. Another type of guru, he teaches what you should not do. So in this way, we can take everyone as our guru. When I see a devotee who's doing very nice service, like Jai Ram Prabhu, you see, doing very nice service, you see, I can be inspired, and he can see as my guru, you see. I can learn from his example. And if I see some other devotee who's doing everything wrong, then I can also see him as my guru. I can see how miserable he is because he's doing everything the wrong way. He's not following the orders of guru. You see. So in this way, we can take everyone as guru. You see. And learn how to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness without any material desire. Najanam najanam nasundanim kavicham vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani jamanishvare bhavatat bhaktira haitaki tvai. That pure devotee is not even desiring liberation. If Krishna wants him to stay in the cycle of birth and death, eternally, he doesn't mind. You know, Arjuna, Prabhupada says Arjuna does not go back to Godhead. He stays in the material world to serve Krishna here. Is he complaining? But, oh, Krishna, I'm your pure devotee. You're not, and you keep me in the material world. Is Arjuna complaining to Krishna? No. He's happily absorbed, even though Prabhupada says he does not go back to the spiritual world. He's very happily engaged in the material world serving Krishna eternally. So a devotee doesn't even demand to go back to Godhead. Even if he has to take birth after birth after birth in this rotten place called the material world, he's ready to do that if that will please Krishna. Because his only desire is to please Krishna. He has no desire for his own happiness. He simply desires to give Krishna happiness. So you may say, well, that sounds pretty miserable. I mean, but no, this is the insider secret of how to enjoy unlimited happiness. If we give up our own desire for happiness and simply think how to make Krishna happy, then we purchase Krishna. He becomes our personal property. And we enjoy on an equal level with Krishna. Why equal level? More than Krishna. You know, Krishna, He is seeing Srimati Radharani. Krishna is amazed. He's dumbfounded. What is this? I'm the supreme enjoyer, and this girl, she is enjoying more than me. How can that be? Krishna cannot understand. How is it possible? Therefore, he wants to taste that love of Radharani to expand his own happiness. So Krishna, he becomes a Hare Krishna. He says, these Hare Krishnas, they get more bliss than me. So I will also become a Hare Krishna. He joins the Bhakta program. You know that Bhakta name? Bhakta Avatar. Yeah. He's known as Bhakta Avatar. You see, our Bhakta, we call the new Bhaktas Bhakta this, Bhakta that. So he's Bhakta Avatar. He joined the Hare Krishna movement to increase his happiness. That these Hare Krishnas, they're getting even more bliss than me. You see, Krishna is never to be outdone by anyone. So, we should not think that becoming completely sold out devotee of Krishna, just thinking of pleasing him, that we'll be missing any happiness. Because even God wants that happiness of being completely sold out to Krishna and not thinking of his own happiness. If you study the Kshikshastakam prayers, you will see that Lord Chaitanya is miserable. You say, what? Miserable? Yes. He says he is miserable, feeling the Lord's separation. Actually, one time, we were flying from Delhi to Hong Kong, Mataji and I. And one man, I think it was the security guard, yeah, they frisk you, you know. Make sure you're not carrying any guns or bombs or anything on the airplane. So in India there's many, many pious people. So he saw I was a devotee of Tilak, you know, the whole thing, Hare Krishna, the full Hare Krishna wardrobe. He was very happy to meet me and ask, you know, talk with me. And I mentioned how I'd been, you know, engaged in serving Krishna for the last 38 years. And he said, then how do you feel? He was thinking, I was going to say, oh, I feel really blissful. It's so blissful. That's what he's expecting me to say. And then I said, I'm completely miserable. And he went, wow. And I said, I'm miserable to see how much the whole world is forgetting Krishna. And then he had a big smile. He was so happy to hear that. He understood, you see, that yes, because the devotee has both feelings, you see. The devotee is in complete bliss to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time his heart is being torn to pieces to see the suffering of the material world all around him, you see. And he understood, and he was very happy to hear that, actually. So in this way, we can understand what is this wonderful science of Krishna consciousness. And we can pray to get these spiritual genes from our predecessor acharyas. The most important spiritual gene is this non-envious well-wisher of all living beings. You see, that's the most important gene that we want to inherit from our predecessor acharyas. So we have a few minutes left. Perhaps there are some questions. One from father and mother, one from guru and Vedas. Yes. What is the third one?
He said, one is from the mother and father, Soka, one Pavitra and one Aivnika. First initiation is the first, second bed.
I can't hear.
He says that there are three birds.
Yeah.
Second initiation is the third
one. What's the second one?
The
Oh, you're talking about Brahman initiation in ISKCON. Oh, okay. No, actually, well, Prabhupada said different things at different times to different people about this. Actually, the one who takes first initiation, they are considered twice born, actually. But it is a preliminary thing. I'll give you a rough example. I don't know if you have it here, but I know when I grew up in America, they had a, for getting a driver's license, there is a preliminary license where you can drive, but you have to have a licensed driver in the front seat with you. Do you have that in Fiji also? It's like a learner's permit. And then that's the first step. And then once you qualify further, then you don't need the licensed driver in the front. So, but you're already a qualified driver, you see. So in some ways it's like them. You see, you're a qualified devotee, but you're still understood to be in training. But when you get second initiation, you're now being recognized as a qualified brahmana, one who has proven that he can keep his initiation vows. It is an extra recognition given, actually. But actually, first birth is sufficient. First initiation is sufficient for going back to home, back to Godhead. But why? What is the proof? Haranama, 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 eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatiya, yata. That chanting the holy names, that is the Yuga Dharma, you see. The Gayatri Mantra, that is extra enhancement. That does not become the primary focus. Does that mean japa is no longer important? Now only Gayatri Mantra is important? No. That japa always remains important. Gayatri Mantra is there as an extra enhancement to facilitate better chanting of japa. It is actually extra enhancement. It does not replace the Hare Krishna mantra. That is the proof, you see, that first initiation is sufficient. Anyone who has first initiation, they are considered pakka bona fide disciple if they follow the instruction. But when they have proven that, yes, I am faithful to the vows, I'm faithfully serving my spiritual master's order, then they're given status, recognition. Yes, you are brahmana. You can now give classes. You can do the arti. It is recognition. You have further qualified yourself by showing that you're a very dedicated disciple by following the vows strictly. When I went for second initiation, Prabhupada had one question and one question only. He said, so, you are chanting 16 rounds regularly? That was it. I said, oh yes, Prabhupada. And he gave me the thread, you see. So it is further confirmation that yes, you have taken the vow of initiation and you were solid pakka in that vow. All right, now we recognize you as Brahman. But that's, it is not the third birth. It is simply further status of your first birth, your first initiation. That now you are shown that yes, I am proper disciple. All right, we give you further recognition. Now you can teach others. Brahman means teacher. You've taken the training, you're a trainee disciple, now you're proven that you're qualified, now you can also be a teacher. Brahman means teacher. You see, Brahman means guru. Brahman means he's the guru of the whole human society, Prabhupada said. Now you're qualified to teach. We recognize you as Brahman in this way. So we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.